Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen, and I am here with psychic and author Neil Baker. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Wednesday, and we're so glad to be here. It's really interesting. Someone keeps getting kicked off. 718 area code has come in and out. I'm wondering if there's any problems staying on the line, so please, if you're having problems and you're getting kicked off by Blog Talk Radio and it's not a problem with your phone, any of you that are in the queue, please let us know, because we'll have to talk to Blog Talk Radio about that. There they come back in. 718 is back on, so we'll have to chat with them about that. For you callers that are new to our show, we take readings at about quarter after the hour, so at about 10:15, 1:15 Eastern. A few ways to stay in touch with us. You may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on Facebook. That account is linked under our Blog Talk Radio account. We also have a friend page. So I've switched them out. I had the friend page linked on Blog Talk Radio. Now I've got the fan page there. So if you could show your support, this is a service that Neil and I do on a biweekly basis for our callers and our listeners. And if you can support us, we would really appreciate that. Neil's books are on Amazon.com. That link is also under our Blog Talk Radio profile, I believe, and Neil's direct number, 562-596-7818. But today we're talking about past life regression. Is it possible to visit your past life history? And who's qualified to actually conduct past life regression? I know there's a lot of people that conduct past life regressions that aren't exactly psychics. They're hypnotherapists and things like that. Neil, I want to hand it over to you for a few minutes and get your impressions and feedback on this, because for me, I think it would be hard to really trust in a situation where someone's not equipped with third eye capability to actually see into someone's past lives. So I'm not sure how that works regarding past life regression with hypnotherapy, but perhaps
you do. You know, currently, probably around late 80s, Brian Weiss was the founder. He wasn't the founder, but he was the rebooted it, made it popular, made it more accessible,
mm-hmm.
and reignited the consciousness of people interested in that form, or people who were new to it, or people who even hadn't heard of it. And, of course, his method was to use hypnosis on his patients. He's a doctor. He's a psychiatrist. And he was using hypnosis as a means to get into the element of past life experiences. But certainly it didn't start with him. Where the whole mythology, basically, of past life experiences occurred was even before the 2nd century BC. And basically it was more of a Hindu concept, in the belief that we actually store in our brains memories of past lives or incarnations, and that by going back into our brain through the element of hypnosis. But we not, you know, back then they didn't use hypnosis, obviously. Hypnosis was
hadn't
not
been
a technique
developed yet, right?
So the element of past life energies was more basically purely spiritual. You didn't use anything in the form of psychiatry to get there. And that was more locked into the idea of mysticism and astral travel and our direct link with spirituality and the heavens and the gods and incarnations and things like that, which is the real true source of, I think, that breaks through the mythology of past life regression into something that's a little bit more organic and obviously accurate. Because we're all kind of in pursuit of a spiritual experience. I mean, our brains, I think, are equipped for that.
Right.
Even cavemen, they're going to draw those drawings on the caves and things like that. And that is some form of linking ourselves with mysticism or what is hidden. Basically, mysticism is really the root word is to be hidden, concealed. And so when we get into that concept, I think, well, to answer the question bluntly, I think past life is a reality. I think we do store memories of our past lives into our brains, and I think that those memories produce karma, and we come back and we try to get in touch with our past lives to see how we can work out our energies and things like that based upon the actions of our past lives. And so there is a very sure journey that we take in terms of past lives, and I think the most organic journey we take is through dreams. When we actually have a dream and we leave our body, we're having a past life experience. Or when all of a sudden, like a strange shadow over the sun, we have a feeling of deja vu, but we know something's happened before, and it becomes very strange in our brain. It overwhelms our emotions. Or when we come up with facts and figures that we couldn't have possibly have known, and upon investigation we find out that they're true, even with little children. This is the true form of past life regression.
Right.
That's
so,
the true organic form of it.
Because my thought is that if we are led into a past life regression, which I think, you know, deals with opening our brains under a state of hypnosis, I mean, we do reach higher levels possibly in that state, but I think also our imaginations can come into play in that type of experience. I would trust the dream state to be much more accurate if you're able to interpret that information, of course.
It is, but it's still an experimental stage of analysis because dreams can just be from our life.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go into the dream state, our sense of association is actually very heightened. And so we have quick stream of consciousness, and one thought triggers another, and we weave a story, and suddenly, you know, lo and behold, we've gathered not only experiences in our life, but through the media, things we've encountered in our lifetimes, we incorporate that into a dream, and because we're so bombarded by an adverse effect of cultures and entertainment, we can actually mistake a simple dream for some kind of past life experience. The idea of a past life has to incorporate the idea that there is such a thing as reincarnation, that we are not here on one linear lifetime, but that we are actually here on many lifetimes, and our brains are holding the code and the experiences of our past lives in our brain. And it comes out. Now, sure, I find where some of the confusion exists, though, is in this idea of past life regression in terms of the form of a psychiatric technique or even a New Age, if you will, technique,
mm-hmm.
because that can get confusing. We can actually delude ourselves into thinking we're going through a past life. Because imagine, I mean, the hypnotist will have you relax and make your body disappear and your thoughts clear and have you enter light or corridors or hallways and guide you along on a journey prompting all along the way your brain to connect to certain images that may spontaneously occur. Now, I don't doubt that those are wonderful experiences for the patient or for the subject, but that doesn't mean that they're accurately connected to a past life. Indeed, any one of us can lay down and feel our bodies disappear, become enveloped by a visionary light, feel ourselves drifting, drifting, drifting. We turn on the light, we enter the room, and we're suddenly in the 18th century. That doesn't mean we've been there. I mean, you know, we get into the idea, the edge of what, how we can delude ourselves, and as we're deluding ourselves, get so-called recognition in our body, in our heads, in our mind, that we've really been there. I think true past life regression requires something a little bit, with a little bit more evidence than that. And like, I want to emphasize that I do believe in it. I believe in it. I take people through it. I've gone through it. So I do believe in it, but I'm not going to get into the idea of confabulation of that. There is some sense of delusion that I believe it does occur, and you've got to be careful of that. That's all I'm saying in the process of really going through a past life regression and believing that, you know, you were beside Marie Antoinette when she was beheaded, or that maybe you were Marie Antoinette.
I highly doubt it. I mean, you know,
how many people
are Cleopatra that I've heard, you know, that was a past life of theirs?
I'm one of them, but
And Mark Antony.
Yeah. I mean, we can have all kinds of fun things. But, you know, I mean, when I conduct readings, I do incorporate past lives. I do go there, and I am guilty of taking people there, too.
I don't think it's a crime. Guilt is a strong word.
Maybe. Well, it is something that, you know, all I'm saying is that you've got to be very careful, because to go to a past life, you don't just get in touch with your body, you leave your body. You can't, there's locked in codes and images and stories that the brain holds, but you actually, the most accurate depiction of going into a past life that I have found more dependable than others is that you actually leave your body and you astral travel to that past life. Now, you can do it through imagery, but the hazard there is that your imagination may be deluding you, and it feels very good. For that matter, fictitious writers that write about different eras of time and go into that, are they having a past life regression? It's not. The brain can conduct a lot of experiences for us. They can take us through a lot of experiences, but that doesn't mean they're accurate.
Right.
So all I'm saying is that the idea is not that you lay down, you're comfortable, you have soft music playing, and suddenly through the quiet tone of a guide, you are traveling back in time into other lifetimes, and the experiences that are triggered by suggested words don't necessarily mean you're having a past life. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to disagree with me, and you're entitled to. But at the same time, in our debate, I do believe in it. I do believe in it. And I do believe that through hypnosis, one can have a true life, past life experience. I'm not saying you can't.
So what are the factors that would influence an effective journey into that past life? Or into a past life through hypnosis? I mean, is it the qualification of the guide? You would think that the person leading the session would have to have some psychic information or ability to see into.
Well, you know, I wouldn't want somebody taking me up in a helicopter just because they love helicopters and they've seen people fly them.
That's what I'm saying.
In a sense, how are you licensed? You can license and learn a technique. Like in Brian Rice's attitude, and some of the earlier technicians of that era, that I think there was like a Madame Blavatsky that was co-founder of this society that had past life regression research, basically speaking. So
isn't she theosophist? Wasn't she theosophist?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can follow a technique, and it isn't to say that it doesn't unlock things. And there aren't, and of course, you know, many lives, many masters. I think he wrote the book, Brian. It isn't to say that there isn't documented cases that are accurate, in at least the narrative that these things really occurred. I don't think he made up these case studies. But on the other hand, I like to rest assured that when I'm dealing with elements of the supernatural world that I'm dealing with, at least in my mind, with real elements, because I think we all can be prone to be victimized or confused
or
by delusions, into those things. Some of the facts, well, of course, if you come up with things that you couldn't possibly know, not that, you know, I was... I was in the Roman days, and I was in the Colosseum, and there were lions and gladiators, and you mentioned a few relics or items of clothing that you maybe have picked up in the subconsciousness of your mind, so it seems very real. I mean, I think today we are so exposed by the media that we can incorporate in a quote past life regression so many facts and figures that it would seem like we really were there. That's not it. You don't connect to your brain, really. You connect to your soul. It's a soul energy. Now, how is one trained to allow you to connect to your soul? I don't mean relaxing, so you can go into a acute guided imagery and find a story therein. I'm talking about actually separating your soul from your body and astrally projecting outward through time and space into another dimension, like you were in a time machine. Your soul is now out of your body, and you are recording information while the body is soundly asleep.
And you know, it actually the points that we're at in compiling our notes, our rough notes for our book. I mean, we've been working on the book a year, but I mean, it's such a massive project. We're exactly in this place. I mean, yesterday we were talking about astral projection and the codes within the birth date. I'm not going to reveal too much about what we talked about, but it's the same thing, going into a past life, what you would do in terms of a birth date code. And I know that, you know, there are different ways to access past lives. There are different ways to go into the future, but I'm sure that past life regressionists like hypnotists aren't using a birth date code to do that.
Well, no, and that, you know, that brings up another fine point that I'm a believer in it. I really do believe in it. I'm just stating that when we combined experiences and knowledge and imagination together with the suggestion or the guidance, even from a hypnotist, and we believe that we are recalling a previous existence, that doesn't always mean it is accurate. I hate to burst everybody's bubble because it's a beautiful concept, but I think that in order to connect to a past life experience, it takes more than just sound effects and a feeling and a sensation and a couple of words that lead you to a specific place and time. It just is more than that. Too bad. You know, send me letters. I don't care. That's what I believe. But I do believe that it is possible. Now, maybe I'm kind of talking above the subject matter here, because I only know, I mean, people can own their experiences, very subjectively speaking. People can own their experiences, and I would never doubt someone who
is attached
professed to
have
a past life experience. That's not my purpose. My purpose is that when I'm experiencing it, either with myself or with a client or with someone who is speaking to me, I really do not know if it's true or not unless I activate my third eye. My brain or whatever I'm perceiving or what I'm hearing is not a good basis for accuracy. I have to utilize, and that's a whole topic in and of itself.
Right, and we actually talked about that recently on the radio show, and I was talking about my experience because, you know, I've had intuitive dreams before I ever met you as a child and definitely an intuitive sense, but as far as opening the third eye naturally, that's a totally different way to access psychic information. And we talked about, you know, how the information is coming into me in a more, it's a totally different sensation. There's no physical sensation associated with me getting psychic information. Of course, I still have intuition, but I think a lot of the psychics out there, and of course we're opening another can of worms, we're going to be getting to our callers in just a moment, but I think many of the psychics, quote-unquote psychics out there, are using intuitive information. As far as, you know, getting a reading from other psychics, which I haven't done in quite a few years, I mean, getting any semblance of accuracy from any of these psychics has been a pretty rare occurrence. I still haven't had that.
The key word, false memories. I mean, we can have false memories. It's not a crime to have a false memory, and it's not a crime to have it decorated with a lot of feelings and sensations, especially if it leads to some kind of healing. It's harmless. But, you know, I mean, if you, it all depends on where you take it. You can think of all kinds of comical situations where you start to live out one of your past lives, and you're basically not even living in this time era anymore. A lot of people seem to organically live in other eras. They are just attuned to it. And it's very odd. I've done a lot of readings with children who at 4 or 5 are not of this time and era. They are in the Roman. I had a child who was at 4 years old when I went to the home to do a reading for him with under the parents' guidance and presence. He was parading around vast battlefields of the American Revolution, and he had lined up battalions and formulated things, and he was talking about generals. I mean, this isn't. He wasn't a child genius or a prodigy. This kid was a reincarnation from that past life, and he spoke to me even, and he was even donning different accents. It was amazing.
Yeah, we've talked about that program on, LMN, it's The Ghost Inside My Child, where many of these children come into their existence with memories from this past life. Did he have memories?
Oh yeah, he had memories.
Wow.
And I won't mention, his father was a very, very famous actor that is now deceased, but I won't mention the name, of course, but, you know, but this wasn't an account of that his father was in theater or in the movies. This, in fact, the father died when the child was but like 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
So there's just no way. But, yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing concept, and I think it's worthy of further discussion at some of the time.
Definitely, definitely, Neil. Okay, we're going to get to some of our callers here. Area code, this is a private caller. Normally we don't take callers from private numbers, but I'll take them now. Hi, are you there? Hello?
That's really private.
Hello?
There.
Yes.
What is going on with Blog Talk Radio today?
I don't know.
Hi, is this Nathaniel?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Nathaniel, 5157. What's going on?
Thought I'd just call in. Things seem to be kind of getting better.
Oh, good. Well, give us an update.
You know, I'm just looking for more work here. I don't know what something will be popping up soon.
I thought you landed a temporary job at a hotel.
Yeah, I kind of didn't want to mention that on the radio.
Oh, okay. Well,
you didn't
want to mention it on the radio.
Oh, okay. Often what happens, Nathaniel, is the one energy triggers another. And yes, indeed, you know, I am, let's put it like this a little bit. I see you walking around the grounds. It's another one of those security guard situations. But you seem to be walking around the grounds of like a shopping mall. It may be a small type of industrial mall, but I do see you walking around there. So whatever that's worth, that I'm seeing. Sometimes these things trigger other jobs, so other jobs come in. I know you have other interests that are beyond just walking the grounds and guarding property. And certainly, I encourage that with you. I believe it was music or
he's a
musician, which is a tough field, especially with all the competition, everything. Age can be a factor and that kind of thing. But certainly, collaborating with other people, composing original music, getting into exposing the attitude of who you are out there and getting small gigs and things like that, or doing self-promoted recordings.
Do you play with a group at all? I'm sorry to interrupt. We got our private caller back. Do you play with anybody else, or is this just pretty much on your own, Nathaniel?
Not currently. I haven't been really playing with anybody else for a long time.
Well, you may need to be recharged in that area and get something going in there.
About like open mics in his area. That's a good
could
way
be
to
like that. It's really strange, but I suddenly have an image. And we're talking about past lives, but it's like honky-tonk music. It's like the old days when they had the piano and the guy was in the bar, and it might have been a kind of a smoky cabaret or something. But I'm getting a strange vision around you. Insofar that you were born in 57, this was well before that year, so I don't think I'm in this lifetime. But I do see, and it was definitely a piano in that vision. So I don't know. There's something in there, maybe Nathaniel, that you could explore, getting back into that type of music, listening to some piano music, closing your eyes, trying to get back into that era. That's one way to invoke a past life memory, just at least on the surface. But together with the kind of job that I'm seeing, a security guard in an industrial park type area, and perhaps something to do with the music, your musical journey, those are the two things that I would share with you today.
Cool, Abel. Thank you.
All right, Nathaniel. Thank you. 562-596-7818. And also, Nathaniel can join us on Facebook. He can join us on Twitter, and he can follow us right here on Block Talk Radio. Okay, we have our private caller back. Let's try again. Are you there? Maybe they're just listening. They're silent.
They're silent.
Bizarre day today. I don't know if there's problems with the phone line. We've lost some other callers that came in and dropped. So let's bring on 509. This is Erica from Washington.
Hi, Christine. Hi.
Hi, Erica. How are you?
I want to ask Neil this question, and afterwards, I'm just going to let it go and not ever, put in more energy to it and just, trust that everything is going to go well. Because it is, kind of stressing, but whatever. I'm just going to forget about it after this.
Right.
So I just want to know if, whatever roommate I end up getting at the university, since we are going to be assigned to each other, is she going to be, a good fit? Am I going to be content with whoever I am ends up being my partner at or my roommate, or will I like kick her out after a couple months? Or like
you're nervous about your roommate situation. You're having anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of that, Erica, has to do with karma as well. When we're in school, basically when we're in school, it's a kind of element of regrouping with one of our past lives, if you will. You're here on a journey to get an education, and it's just not about a linear education. It's also about a education in karma. It's an education in transcendence. So there's more than one layer to going back to school. Now, when you go back to school, you're also getting yourself involved in what I believe are tribal connections, because our
mm-hmm.
basic life energies get into a tribal consciousness. That's where we first gathered together and were educated by shamans and storytellers and witch doctors and priests and whatever it might have been that was connected to that particular time zone. And I don't want to get into anything too deep to answer your question, because it will sound like, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to bring it out. But basically speaking, I think, you know, the thing about your energy, Erica, is that you sometimes come into, you sometimes are confronted by challenges in relationships. And that doesn't mean that there isn't a heart-based relationship that you have had, that you will have, because there's a heart zone in your fire number that's very strong. But there's also a little bit of conflict, and the fact that you are not even 29 yet, 93, 2003, you're not even 29 yet, you're still deep in the position of karma. And that brings up a attitude of conflict in relationship. As far as your roommate is concerned, I think you're basically, the good news is I think I see a nice roommate. I don't think I see a problem. In fact, I think I see at the tail end of the relationship tears, meaning that you may feel very close to this person, and when you part, it may be emotional. So I'm getting more of a friendship tear energy. It could be that the person is coming in with their own history and it connects to yours, so you could be old souls. I'm evaluating that you're probably both old souls. And what that means is that your souls have connected. Your souls via the bodies in that lifetime have connected before. So you're back and reconnecting with this person. They may have some problem with their leg or their foot that might be indicative of my words that they're true, so you may have a little conflict there. Somewhere in the midst of the friendship or the roommateship, if you will, you might have a little bit of a confrontation, but nothing too dramatic. I think this person develops a relationship with another guy during the time, and that becomes a little bit problematic for you, but basically speaking, I'm not, with the conflicts that I've suggested as we've spoken, I don't see anything so dramatic that you need to be worried.
Okay. Yeah, it's just that I'm going to be like a lost soul, you know, at the university. It is 3 hours away, and it's like even the town is going to be new and like, you know. But yeah, I just kind of worried about that.
Let me interject something, Erica. It is not new. I'm suggesting to you that you're entering a past life. So the town is not going to be as new to you as you think, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to start getting into the idea that you're not really in a past life connection, in a soul connection. You're not going anywhere you haven't been before. I believe that you've been a inhabitant of this area, not university-wise, but I think you've been an inhabitant of this area, and probably at that time you envied the university energies. How long has the university been in existence?
No, I don't know.
Well,
I
you
know, don't know that.
Field, you need a better. What is your degree?
Criminal justice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Criminal justice. hey, you need to investigate. I want to hear from you, Erica, a better sharp mind as a tool that you know how to investigate, because you should know details about the university. You should know its history. It's going to be part of your life. You're entering it. And you need to sharpen up your investigative skills. Incidentally, is there anybody in your family or anybody in the old family stories that had ever had a burn? They were burned, their skin was burned, water burn, fire burn, any burns in your family?
I don't know. I don't know about that. Yeah.
Okay, here's a word of wisdom. Sharpen your investigative skills.
Okay. I'm just getting my...
You're getting your what?
Just my bachelor's there. It's just kind of like I have to get it at any university, and I chose that one. But my real goal is Gonzaga University, and that one, I don't know those facts, but I will, because that's like my dream school, and it's a law school.
Don't ever, listen, you don't know those facts. Don't ever make anything too small, insignificant. I hope to be your first educator in this regard, that you take everything with importance. Don't start categorizing what you think is important or what you think isn't important, because if you're going to be a criminal investigator or
criminal justice,
you need to understand fine details now, and I'm not hearing that from you. You know, you sound a little bit immature. I'm telling you to sharpen up your skills. Get more mature. Don't say, I don't know. You're old enough to go to university. You're old enough to start getting involved in your skills. And I'm actually complimenting you. I'm telling you how to get sharp. You know, you may be thinking, God, why is that guy picking on me? I just asked a question. But you know what? You're entering a world where getting picked on, you better get a tough skin, because this gets tough, this world.
Okay. And I chose Anderson, and I'm going to stick to that. Anderson Hall, remember? You picked that one, too? Yeah.
What's that?
On Monday.
Uh-huh.
And you told her what hall to pick. She was
Anderson.
Which hall to pick.
Oh, Anderson. Yeah. Yeah, I remember. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to stick with that.
Good for you.
All right.
Okay. Prove me right that you're going to get sharp and be a brilliant, brilliant criminal justice attorney.
Traffic infraction judge.
Oh, traffic infraction. Well, you know, I mean, that everything has its place. I recall now, traffic. Yeah, I recall. Well, maybe I'm going overboard, but still, take my advice.
No, you're right. I should know, you know. Okay.
Thank you. That's right, because even there, you're going to have to be very good at details.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, thank you for your time today. Bye, Christine.
Bye, Erica.
Bye.
Thank you.
With my luck, I'll run a stoplight. She'll be the judge.
You've never had a ticket in your life.
No.
Well, that's pretty remarkable to me. Because I cannot say the same thing. I haven't had very many tickets, though. I'm not like a reckless driver.
Well, you know, when I drive, I become very paranoid. I drive. My hands are gripping the wheel. I'm looking at every car around me. I'm like totally nervous.
But it's good, apparently.
Yeah, it's a
work for you.
Well, you know,
your nervousness isn't a hindrance to your driving. It actually is a help. Whereas someone's, you know, anxiety might.
I'm very alert. I mean, I'm very good at maneuvering around, you know, avoiding accidents and all that. And I'm also aware that road is karma. There's karma in the road out there. And if you're not very careful with it, you can be hit for a loop.
Okay. Curtains in the Renaissance. Are we talking about that today?
Curtains in the Renaissance, yeah.
We're out of callers, Neil. Can you believe it?
We're out of callers.
Well, we had a lot of people come in and drop out, so we can get on that curtain topic, perhaps.
Our popularity is waning, but
today it is.
Maybe we'll get another caller in. we were talking about, for the sake of the archives, we were talking about this concept of past lives. And when we get, again, you know, I might as well talk on a little bit more about the this idea about past lives and false memories, and that there's danger in encouraging patients really to create these great delusions. The danger could be that you lead somebody into thinking something, and you get all this validation, and it hasn't really happened.
Well, and then you think about if you, I don't know, people that live their lives on a premise that something they believe to be real, and then you get up there, die, and get up there and figure out that what you believed in your head to be true is not. I mean, I suppose, I don't know.
Well,
it's important to me to live my life with a sense of accuracy about where I've been, where I'm going, and, you know, not be deluded as far as those types of things.
Well, you know, I mean, I can't help but have critical thinking and separate logic and perception from delusion, but I'm also totally enmeshed in the paranormal and the supernatural elements. And the guy who's talking about, you know, evaluating past lives, I also believe in fairies and all kinds of creatures and inhabitants of the astral realm. So I'm a mixed bag myself. But the to me, when you are having, and I did do, I was a teacher of guided imagery too, and I even conducted classes in that as well, as much as past life regression. Guided imagery is very different. I've taken troubled adolescents, and taken them through guided imagery and helped them in their kind of therapeutic motions of trying to get better with their conflicts through guided imagery, and use that element as a form of relaxation and visual meditation, and it doesn't matter, the experience lifted them out of their conflict for a while and allowed them to be at peace with their body. Some of the turmoil that we occur in our life, we live in these bodies, and most of us are so neurotic and so anxiety-ridden that we don't even know what it is to feel comfortable in the body. And the only time we feel comfortable is either if we're, you know, we're in love, or we're watching a good movie, or having something nice to eat, or God forbid, sleeping. And that's the only place we can get it. But the idea that I think when you talk about positive vibration, when you're talking about the higher elements of getting in touch with your body and feeling comfortable being in your body, then, in fact, you are better or more liable to experience a past life energy, because what the therapist does or the hypnotist does is he tries to, or she tries to get you to relax, to get into a state that you are not of your body, you are of your soul, you are of your spirit. And in that regard, separating the two, why you're conscious.
Right.
And at the same time, moving deeper into a deep meditative or hypnotic state, you are separating yourself from the body in order to get in touch with your soul or your spirit, and thereby take off, leave your body to experience what you need to experience. Guided imagery can almost do much the same thing, and through the impressions that the brain is able to give us in that conversation, we can actually visualize something of such rarity that I've had kids, adolescents, tell me about their experiences through guided imagery, and they're not even talking about their problems anymore, their conflicts. They're not talking about taking drugs or drinking alcohol. All they're talking about is the sensation they had while they were being directed to go to a certain place in the mind under a guided imagery conversation or experiment. And they both can be very, very powerful.
I want to do that.
Well, you got to get a neat ticket. You got to, you know.
Okay. Well, we've got another caller now. Strange day today, but let me bring them on. 678. Good morning. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Regina.
Regina?
Yes.
Hi, Regina. What is your location and birth date, please? Hi.
Hi, I'm Georgia and 1879.
Have we talked to you before, Regina? Nine.
Yes.
Okay, I thought so, but I wasn't sure. All right, what's your question?
My question is, I received a phone interview Monday, this past Monday, and I want to see if this will be a job offer for me in the future, in the near future.
Okay.
Well, you're 36 years old. Your karma was up to the age of 35 when you might have had another jump in a job. Did you change jobs roughly a year ago?
Yes.
Okay, so now we got to move forward. This feels pretty strong to me, vibration-wise, Regina.
Okay.
So I'm more on the line of encouraging you than not. You're 36 years old. Now, when you were really young, did you ever do any telephone work, anything in communications, ever in your life?
On phones? Well, yes, I did.
Okay. So from there, I'm jumping forward in time to now. This feels pretty strong to me. I mean, you've got my vibe, you got a pretty good head on your shoulders, and you conduct yourself well in an interview. You qualified. There wasn't anything amiss in your interview, your credentials.
Okay.
So that feels real good. Did you go on? Did you get a bachelor's at least in college?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's vibes coming in. I mean, I'm getting several validations, Regina, about you, the vibe I'm getting on the phone. So I would say in general that the outlook looks good, but it's short of a prediction. I'm not going to make any prediction as we speak, but the outlook looks pretty good. What kind of job are you going for?
This is it's in the government, but it's you work in a hospital, and you work with patients at their bedside, and you just give them services before they get to go home or discharge from the hospital.
Oh, well, your voice, you have a very comforting, reassuring bedside manner in your voice.
Okay.
It sounds like you would be an excellent listener, and you would provide for the patients some sense of reassurance in the transition. You are a person that involves themselves in the transitions of life. So your role would be very even in ancient times, people who were involved in transitions of life, a lot of the Egyptian, when the pharaohs, and they went into the tombs and they're going to prepare them for the afterlife, which was called then, there was a certain preparation involved. Now, you're still dealing with live, living people. You're taking them out of an element of some question and taking them, getting them, I assume, to get back ready and to have security at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel very good about that. Your master number is 8, and you're born on an 8. Very good. You have a 7-9 energy. Yeah, I think you're tailor-made for this, so my prayers are with you to get the job.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay. Great.
You have a good
day. Let us
thank
know.
Thank you. I sure will. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah, she's a very gentle tone.
Yeah.
Which is nice. You want to encounter, sometimes in hospitals you can get people that are a little aggressive.
She
sounds like
she'd be very patient with your questions and, she has a nice manner about her.
Yeah. Okay, Neil. Well, we've got 10 minutes left, and I don't know. What do you want to do? Do you want to continue talking? Do you want to end a little early today?
Well, I guess we can end a little early since, we're getting into this matter. We were talking about past lives and the idea of what is a definite past life experience and what can you look for?
Right, and I mean the thing about analyzing your own dreams, how do you know if it's, I mean, I can differentiate at this point my astral journeys from my psychological dreams, but even if I'm journeying into the astral realm, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm connecting to a past life. It could mean something entirely different. I could be connecting to, you know, energies that have passed or guides and spirits.
Well, the brain is, it's a very entertaining part of our being, and it's filled with imagination, and we can do all kinds of things with our brain short of having a true past life experience. But when you're about to have one, something eerie goes on, and it's beyond just the sensation that the brain can produce while you're in a conscious state. Something definitely shifts. It shifts gears, and it gets into a whole different element. There's a really corny movie that became a cult film favorite of many people, and I've seen it. It's as corny as ever, but it's called Somewhere in Time.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Christopher Reeves, he briefly talks to a professor about time travel, and the professor gives him a little bit of scientific jargon, but I was entertained by it, and it's got a nice, lush musical score, and it's, you know, hokey, but it's still entertaining, and there is some truth to that. Now, he goes to bed, and he recreates a time zone because he knows specifically where he wants to go to find this lover of his that was back at the turn of the century, and he creates in his mind a firm, concentrated effort to go back there, the clothes, everything. He creates it in his room and at a hotel, and where he actually goes to the location that he wants to go back to in a different time zone. So he's not like in his home at his house. He actually goes to a hotel at another location. I think it was in North Carolina or somewhere. But he wants to go to that location now like 70 years ago. And he creates this time zone, and through the special effects of the movie script, however corny, he finds himself back there. And he kind of goes through a misty element, and when he wakes up, the whole room, his room has changed, there's different pictures on the wall, the furniture is different, he walks outside, and everyone's back at the turn of the century, and he's already dressed for the occasion. Now, that there's some truth to that, but I wouldn't
some
try it at home.
To
but
being able to
it
project
a past life regression has a certain supernatural shift in the soul of the person. Something shifts gears, and it goes well beyond the sensation that the brain can give you. It's almost like a liftoff. When the first time you ever flown in a plane, when those wheels leave the ground and you start to rise, it's like a sensation you've never had before. Of course, people get used to it, but that sensation is the lifting of your soul from your body, with the advantage of having your consciousness intact throughout. And that is one of the biggest indications that you are entering a past life regression, a true one.
Okay. Well, Neil?
Well, that's it for the day.
I think that's it for the day.
That's a rapture, huh? Okay.
Rhapsody. Okay. Back on the air on Monday, Neil, and we appreciate everybody's participation today. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.